Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Thank you, Lurie. For those who are able to hear the whole thing as you've come into the sanctuary or radio picked us up, I had a little bit of flavor of Thanksgiving coming our way in the music she played for us. So, good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house. For our radio, WPHM, or podcast, WPHM.net, we are Our Savior Lutheran, Port Huron, Michigan. So welcome to the Lord's house. We're in the midst of transition between October and November. When I look ahead from January to what the fall is going to be like, it's like it's so choppy because there's so many special days. Okay, this is the 10th, which followed All Saints Day, which is in the midst of the pocket before Thanksgiving, and then the last Sunday, November 24th, is the last Sunday of the season of Pentecost. And for those who follow the liturgy and lectionary of the Christian church, you know that's the last Sunday of Pentecost. It's called Christ the King Sunday. And it's another white Sunday. Okay, got 2 weeks by something white. White Sunday for Christ the King, victorious. So we don't end the season of Pentecost low-key like, oh, we're finally done with 26 weeks. No, it is all culminated to the fact that Christ is King. Then the next 4 Sundays of Advent are not in preparation for a baby Jesus to be born. A lot of people, because of their nominal association with Christianity, think that we're getting ready for Christmas. Oh, it's nice, it's there. The 4 Sundays of Advent, when you listen to the lessons and the history of the church is teaching about Advent, it's the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He's going to come back. Ready or not, he's coming. Okay? He's going to surprise us all like a thief in the night. He shall return and surprise us all, and it'll be the cessation of all human history. No war has ever experienced what's coming our way with the end times. So Advent has, you know, and Iris Cook, when she worshiped and played for our music here, she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and they always talk about the coming of Christ. She says, but you Lutherans, you talk about it too. I said, yeah, how about that? Outside the circle, you see, other churches talk about it too. Yes, Christ is coming, and it's built into our lectionary, so we have to deal with that. It is coming. So, this day we're still in Pentecost. The lessons will reflect it. But with the flavor of All Saints Day, which has preceded this. That is to say, it's going to be talking about resurrection, victory in Christ. So, we radio broadcast, let me acknowledge that. Our wonderful community sponsor, who also listens to us faithfully, has contributed for this broadcast in our 81-year history. Lori Parker, who is honored here, has given us the flowers on the altar in memory of her mother's birthday and her passing in 91. So, with that acknowledgement, if you'll please rise for confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, healer of our every ill, source of unending mercy. Amen. Embraced in enduring grace and good hope, let us turn again to God, confessing the truth about ourselves. Merciful God, we come before you, beloved, but broken. We have not always treated others as we would want them to treat us. We have not always called out injustice and abuse. We have not always been kind to ourselves. We have not always taken care of the world we share with other living creatures. Remind us of who we are, beloved children, bathed in your love. Renew us by your Spirit to live as your holy people, bringing healing to the brokenness around us. Amen. At every moment, you are held in existence by the love of God, renewed by that Spirit within and among you, made alive again in Christ. Receive this assurance in Jesus' name. You are forgiven and free to live for the healing of this world. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, O Day Full of Grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise from the Lutheran Book of Worship. Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. If you'll please join me in the prayer of the day. One other thing, just to remind you, the prayer of the day is a precursor of the scripture readings. So what we pray is anticipating the word that we're going to hear and spoken to. Okay, let us pray together. O God, our eternal Redeemer, by the presence of your Spirit, you renew and direct our hearts. Keep always in our mind the end of all things, the day of judgment. Inspire us with a holy life here and bring us to the joy of the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the first reading this day. And Judy Quater brings us the word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Job suffers the loss of children, wealth, and health. Accused by his companions of wrongdoing, he knows himself to be innocent. Here in the midst of his suffering, Job clings to the radical hope that his vindicator, his redeemer, lives, and that one day he himself will see God. From the book of Job, chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that an iron pen and with lead, they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. Psalm of the day, we'll responsibly read the antiphon refrain built in for you in the responses is, keep me as the apple of your eye, Lord. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips. Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Let your eyes be fixed on justice. Examine my heart. Visit me by night. Melt me down. You will find no iniquity in me, impurity. I have not regarded what others do. At the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. My footsteps hold fast to your well-worn path, and my feet do not slip. I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear to me and hear my words. Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand, for those who rise against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who assault me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Keep me as the apple of your eye, and hide me under the shadow of your wings. Our second reading. Katie Quater brings us the word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The second reading for today is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things when I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Katie. If you're able to stand for the gospel text, please rise. We'll speak together the acclamation. Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Alleluia. Gospel reading for the day, Luke 20th chapter, beginning with verse 27. Glory to you, O Lord. Here we get a confrontation. Sadducees against the Lord Jesus. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, they come up to Jesus. They ask him this question, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married, died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so the same for all seven brothers. They all died childless. Finally, the woman also died. So Jesus, if there is a resurrection, whose wife will this woman be? For the seven have married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age, they marry. They're given to marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place at that age and in the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry, nor are they given into marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels. They are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now, is he God? He's God not of the dead, of the living. For to him all of them are alive. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, and his peace be with us this day. Amen. Follow the sermon outline, or better yet, follow me through the scripture of the day. One of the things that just, as I was sitting here listening to the reading of the lessons, which is a different way you receive the word, I study them. I don't play it back on tape or anything, reading it to me, but I read them. What impressed me this morning was the fact that they come from really, as you might expect, three different historical contexts. Three different contexts. Now, one of my favorite sayings I acquired at seminary, when they said, you know how people sometimes use the Bible for cut and snip and just quote you Bible bullets? You got to watch out for them. Because a Bible text, T-E-X-T, is a pretext, P-R-E-T-E-X-T, without its context, C-O-N-T-E-X-T. If people just take little bits of scripture without giving you the background, they're not fair. They're taking you down a path which leads to their validation of their train of thought. So let's look at the context. First one, Job. I hope most of you. It's always fun with catechism because they've never seen the word, never spoken, so first time they pronounce it, it's job. And you chuckle and say, no, it's Job. It's Job. It was a person. It's not something you went to 9 to 7, 9 to 5. So, Job. If you follow the whole story and you really, you know, you can take bits and pieces out of it, just as you can to what reading for today. But here's his struggle. Job has everything. He is born and he has acquired wealth, agriculturally, flocks, herds, crops. Okay? He's wealthy. He has a wife. He has children. Hey, that's living to the fullest. Unless you have kids. Then, in the context of things, you understand he's just sailing along and Satan comes up to him, the deceiver, comes up to God. He says, you know, God, the only reason why he's whistling and singing a happy tune is because nothing's wrong in his life. Let me have him and see what happens. Lord says, go to it. He's strong. He'll stay with me. So Satan starts withdrawing all those material things that you and I acquire and desire in life, right? A good name, prosperity, enough for not only today, but for the future, however long the future is for us in our days. In the context of that, a wife, a spouse, sometimes that's a blessing. We'll assume it's a blessing. And sometimes having kids is a blessing and you have the kids. Now they're all dying. Now, friends of Job come up to him and say, oh, you know what? You obviously got on the wrong side of God. You have to change and confess your life before God. And Job said, no, I didn't do anything. These things happen in life. Okay. Bad advice by his peers. You ever get that? Those who have no faith do not guide you spiritually. Got to believe that. Got to understand that. So choose spiritual people as your friends. So anyways, more things start going wrong. And his friends come up. And then his adversaries come up. Oh, Job, you really have ticked off God. This is going on and continuing, and it's not getting better. This is dire straits for you, Job. Oh, we're really upset for you, and we pity you. Well, one thing you don't want from people is pity. Job didn't want it either. He had about worn as thin, if you've ever seen the poster of a cat hanging on a pole and just barely hanging on. I'm on my last nerve. You ever see that poster? Job's on his last nerve. All this people around me are saying it's God's fault. Job says, no, it's not. It's circumstances of life. Well, I'm condensing several chapters, obviously. Fast forward. He finally gets angry at God. Oh, you did what, Job? You weren't going to break. He did. He wasn't a saint. He was a sinner saint. He makes his complaint, his lament against the Lord God. Lord God says, okay, you stand in front of me. He's talking figuratively, not literal. And he says, Job, let's see how this goes. Where were you to advise me on the creation and order of the systems of this universe? You didn't exist. Where were you to tell me I was at fault for how I set up the system to work? Huh, Job? Give me your answer. Where were we to tell God how the system should work? What was fair and unfair? We have no idea to stand up against God. We complain, we lament like Job. But now when brought before the judge, what do we say? So the Lord, in his gracefulness, says, Job, ponder these thoughts. And let me hear back from you. Job repents. Change of heart. Change of mind. Attitude. Major revision. And he says, Lord, you're right. I began with my life when I had things with you. When those were withdrawn, I tried to walk with you and stay steadfast with you, but now I've turned on the wrong person. I've turned on you. The Lord says, okay, now we're back on target. Job makes this wonderful statement of today, in case you're wondering how the context is. Even though my flesh, corruptible, drops from my bones, it's not literal. I, no matter what my circumstances are, I am still cared for by my God, and I will affirm that till I die. So help me God. Right, Lord? I guess we have pen. Right, Lord? Yes. I will see my God again in resurrection. You're hearing, as we all do, of the news of people taking their lives in this nation. Post-traumatic stress syndrome this last week, really heavy, dark days with the holidays. Individuals who see no end in sight to the melee of their lives. They did not have it as bad as Job. But we always say, nobody understands me, right? That's our self-justification. No, you don't understand me. Yes, God does. Fully understands us. But here's the good news of the gospel. Not that it's going to happen, but even if your flesh had dripped from your bones, God is constant and faithful and gracious for you. Understand that. God is for you, not against you. When you think God's against you, God is not. He's the one throwing a life preserver. God is the one giving us options. God is the one who gave us abilities and talents. God is the one who has graced us with faith to believe the impossible is possible. Job, I will see my Lord again. Even though my wife died, my kids died, my cattle died, everything I touched has died. I know God will bring me to life. Second reading. Apostle Paul, his historical context, he's not in the midst of being sad and feeling self-pity for losses. Rather, he's dealing with an issue in the church. Totally different circumstances. There's a conflict in the early Christian church. 1 Thessalonians deals with it, and so does 2 Thessalonians. There's a rumor going around. We don't hear it anymore because Paul squelched it right here and now like a fly. He killed it. What was the rumor? Lord Jesus is coming back soon. And if you or your parents or your friends have died, they won't get to see Jesus. Where did he come up with that convoluted lie? Paul says, look, when Christ comes back, nobody is going to miss it. It's going to be visible to all, and all will be included. Even the dead in Christ shall be raised imperishable. Stop it right now. Stop the lie. It's disturbing to Christians. You can't miss Christ. He's coming at us like a railroad car, right down our face. You're not missing it. So he goes on to speak about Christ will come. He was the first of the dead to have died. Resurrection coming for all people, some to life and some to another future. And only God determines what it is. So the admonition from Paul, so my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Hold fast to the traditions you were taught by us, the apostles, either by our words of mouth or simply by this letter. Hold true. And may the Lord Jesus himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work as well as word. And we come back, word of God, word of life. The gospel text, a conflict. Now Paul's doing from a distance the conflict in Thessalonica. Jesus is dealing with his opponents right now, real time, in his face, trying to trick him. They believe These are the priests, Sadducees, I kind of forewarned you last week, who did not believe from their whole perspective. They are the priests. They didn't believe in life after death. The priests. In the 3rd century BC, before Christ, there was a group started. They were laymen. They were trying to renew Judaism. They were called the Pharisees. And they accepted all 39 books of the Old Testament, not the 5 that only the priests did, the Sadducees. They said, we see things like Daniel, which we read last week for All Saints Day, and we see things about Job, like today. There is life after death. There is resurrection. So Pharisees were more kindly to Jesus. Oh, they sparked with Jesus constantly. They did believe in a resurrection, which was kin to what the Lord Jesus taught and what he would live in his own body. So they think, Jewish tradition, I hope you know that, you wouldn't want to have brothers. Because if your brother has been married and the brother dies, the husband, and the wife has had no children, you may be married, but you have to take a second wife. How's that one? But it's the best social security system without government. People have to look after people. This was not adultery. It was social networking to make the fiber of the peopleness stronger with death. Of course, they didn't live as long as that. So, okay, 7 brothers. Jesus, we got you now. All died. This poor lonely woman in the resurrection, which you claim is true, who's she going to be married to? I hope I don't crash all your dreams about being with your spouse when you die. Jesus answers it. We're not tied to the old system. That was for this world. So, if you've been divorced, don't guilt yourself. Like, whose spouse am I going to be? I don't want to go back there. No, stop it. You only have to suffer once in this world, not in the next world. There's no more marriage. Those kind of things that were necessary, and I guess it affirms kind of a Roman Catholic view of why marriage, Genesis 1, be fruitful and multiply. That to restock the world, to have children, was understood to be part of the contract of marriage. If you could. If you can't do anything about it. But if you can, procreate so that our people and the nations will endure. Okay? Not in the resurrection. Resurrection, there is fact, reality. But you Sadducees, quit playing games with God. You know, people play games with God. Oh, in my day, I used to, too. We used to set God up just so it looks like God failed. God doesn't fail. Jesus didn't fail. You cannot think God. And I was like the kid that comes up and says, oh, pastor, I got you. If God made everything, who made God? Oh, give me a break. God did. Huh? It's a mystery. Whatever God wanted, God did. Quit thinking you are so smart, like Job and his friends, that they think they know what God's up to. Stop playing God. That's what got us in trouble in the Garden of Eden. Don't you want to eat this fruit and be as smart as God? No. It's a danger you don't want to go to. Just surrender, trust, obey. Simple formula. God, you're leading this parade. God, I'm part of your team. I march with you. When I fall off, Lord, bring me back to the path. Lead me to life eternal. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord. May the God's blessing, who forgives us over and over again, but doesn't want us to think we're God. You cannot think him. Keep us in his spirit. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the day. Wake, awake, for night is running. Page 12. As the people of God with resurrection expectation, we affirm our faith. Apostles' Creed, please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Worship continues with prayers, and Scott will lead us.
United with the saints of every time and place, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Loving Redeemer, by your grace you've chosen us to live boldly as resurrection people. Strengthen us to stand firm and proclaim the good news in the world. Hear us, O God. Maker of all, you bless us with the change of seasons. Create safe pathways as plants and animals prepare for winter, and make us good stewards of your bountiful creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Divine Judge, your justice and mercy are revealed to us in steadfast love. Grant rest and peace to our faithful veterans, and give courage to government officials who lead, serve, and protect. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Listening God, your beloved people call to you, and you answer them. Hear the cries of those who are poor and unemployed, and those who seek refuge, and those who suffer from addiction, and all who are sick. Especially be with Jared Lucas, Bev Chidster, Patricia May, Maria Rompf, Donna Taylor, Lisa Slider, Joe Colthard, Lori Parker's sister Myra, and the victims in Texas with the floods, and the victims in California with the fires. Be with Arnold Bartley Sr. and the family of Marilyn Wright. Guard and keep them in your loving care. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Generous teacher, you look upon your children with loving hearts. Bless the ministries of those who work with, serve, teach, and lead children. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And Lord, we ask you to be with those serving our nation. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Faye Wright, and all those serving overseas and in foreign nations, and those returning to our communities. God of the living, to you all are alive. We give thanks to those who have died in the faith. Give us joy in knowing that our Redeemer lives, and that we will be united with the faithful in resurrection, like his. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. And gracious God, we also remember as Arnold Bartley Sr. heals, that his brother has died this last week. And be with Arnold Bartley's family with the passing of his brother. We also pray for Ron Thomas last weekend, whose wife had also died. Be with them as they make preparations, as they begin the journey of grieving. Rejoicing in hope, we lift our prayers to you, most gracious Lord, trusting that you have received them in your care. Amen. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work that Christ has said, go and do. That in mind, commend to all the church council that unless you're working and on death's door, and then we'll make a pastoral call on you, we want you at church council this Tuesday night. Why? I was asked at confirmation class by one of the council members. I said, because you're an elected officer. You're on the council. That wasn't sufficient. Why? I said, because we're going to process the budget. Well, that's nothing we can do about the budget. I said, oh, wait till you see what we're proposing. We need to do to replace the position of a secretary. When Donna came on board after her husband's passing, it was just, the timing was impeccable, and I assumed the responsibility of desktop publishing and computer stuff, and then Doug came alongside of me. Donna and I did not sign on to give 30 more hours of my time a week, which is already constrained to 70 hours, plus, just being a pastor. So consequently, things have to get let go to do the secretarial. But Donna and I did not sign to do this till we died, whether it's long or short. And I've been saying that for a year in the e-letter. I said to that council member, it's time to pay the pauper. We have to be a church in motion and a church that wants to grow, not die, and swindle slowly, lest one turn off the lights. We are still a fully organized and operating congregation, and we have to have a positive attitude, not a negative attitude. How? Faith? Well, that doesn't go to the bank. But God does. God surprises us. And I can give you 26 years of stories in our Savior, how God came through for us. And we didn't think we could pull it off. Like organ and roof, $100,000, take out a five-year note, we paid it off in 40 days, 50 days, that, right? Surprised everybody. Yeah, God does, doesn't he? Isn't that neat? We can do things if we just trust God and commit our ways to the Lord. So council is important for all council members, because this congregation next week, we meet after each service of worship to say yea or nay to that budget. Also to those who have offered themselves by nominations. I should plug, because the last word I heard from my nominating committee is they left voice messages for people that were asking them to run, and they had not returned calls. So I'm asking all who have been notified by the nominating committee, get that call turned back. They took the time to call you. Give them the courtesy of returning it, not for them to have to make five or six calls to you answer. This is a church. Let's shape up and be a church. Accept responsibilities. Okay. Even if it's to say no. But hopefully it's yes. Okay, enough of the chatting. Last weekend, as you know, Marilyn Wright died, discovered at her home dead. Been working with the family all week. Last part was yesterday. We did a lot of mending of their lives, suggesting courses for them. Also then Sunday, get a call from Ron Thomas, Marion Thomas's son, whose wife died over the weekend. Unexpectedly, though, she battled cancer for 9 years. When she went in the hospital last weekend, he didn't expect her to die, and they found her dead in the hospital. So she did pass. So I've been working with him with what arrangements they're going to do, and both of these were running parallel in my brain, plus doing everything else. And intervening for answers or questions for them to work through. So consequently, different things may be happening. You'll hear, follow your e-letter as best I can. I will keep you informed once a week that way if you're not in church. Many things occurring in terms of the life of the church. You're gonna see, if you're at home or on radio, you're gonna see pictures of what Doug and Fred did wonderfully. Putting the signposts out here for the bazaar and announcing to the world, to the community, the 100th anniversary. There was a wonderful group of our ladies and men who said, two or three months ago, we got to be doing more. We got to announce this to the world. So the process of designing and creating and getting the right colors and right lettering and way we wanted to say it was finally done, taken to the printer, and became material reality this last week. And thank you on a cold day to go out there to do that. They also have done the floors downstairs, getting them ready for the bazaar. The ladies wanted to have the floors looking tip-top. So they spent over 30 hours this last week doing that. Not because somebody asked them. It was because the job needed to be done. We have lots of jobs like that. Don't wait to be called. Don't wait for a phone call. God to tap you. Lightning bolts. It's just simply by human transmission. Talk to people. Talk to the trustees. Okay. Many things in life and certainly in our ministries that need our prayers, our support. And we hope you always keep us in your prayers. Our worship continues as our offering is presented. Thank you.
God, our Creator, you give us all we are, all we have, and all we bring, and all we need. Draw us together around your table with all your saints on earth and in your eternal home. Let us eat and drink your promise of new life, that we might be in your promise to the world. Spoken in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us, and this day we sing the Lord's Prayer. Signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are Christ's message of love for this troubled world, written by the same sender. So may the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Amen. Closing hymn, We Are the Church.
Go in peace, live in love as Christ loved us.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.